What's up, guys? Pastor John here. We pray that this message encourages you in your faith journey, and we believe that God has an incredible plan for your life, and our hope is that tools like this sermon will help you become who He has created you to be. Now listen, in order to truly flourish and thrive like God intends for your life, it takes community. What I mean by that is we don't believe that simply by attending church online alone that you're going to be able to become every bit of who God has created you to be and who you want to be. To grow spiritually, you need other people, and we would love to help you connect with other people right here at Greenhouse. True growth happens when we're rooted in a community that supports, uplifts, and walks alongside us. And so with that in mind, we would love for you to join us in person on Sundays right here at Western High School or in microchurches throughout the week. Listen, if you don't live near our church here in South Florida, please reach out to us. We would love to help you find and thrive in a local faith community near you. We're excited to partner with you as we all become passionate followers of Jesus. God bless you.
Good morning, Greenhouse Church. All right, 2025 sounds good to you. It's good to see you guys. My name is Kyle. I get the great privilege. Hello. I get the great privilege of serving here as your intern. And I love you guys, man. Listen, let me tell you something. This is a great body of believers. And it's just so awesome when you get to come to church on Sunday and be in God's presence, and it's great, and I love being able to do that with you guys, and I love being able to get into God's Word. So, continuing on in our School of Jesus series, I'm going to ask you to stand up, turn in your Bibles, if you have your Bibles. If you have a physical Bible, you are more saved than somebody who doesn't. If you have an electric Bible and it's on an Apple, you are slightly more saved than those who have it on a Samsung. I'm sorry. I think it's somewhere in here. It's fine. Turn with me. Somebody said, I have a Samsung. I'm sorry. No. Turn with me to Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. If you got it, say, I got it. If you don't, Sky Bible. Reads like this. Out of the ESV version, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, there you go, Zach, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Bow your heads, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word has power. Thank you that your word works. I pray that while we open this, that God, you would start to work on our minds. Show us something about yourself in this text that'll change not just the way we act, but the way we think and the way we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way to your seats, give somebody a high five. If you're married, give them a kiss. It's plus 5 bonus points. If you're not married, stay at that high five. Don't be weird, please. Ask, seek, knock. Listen, the holiday season just wrapped up, and it was a great time. It was a fun time. I personally love the holidays because I get to eat some great food, see some people I haven't seen in a while, family. But it wasn't always like that. Because if I can be very honest, my favorite part of the holidays for a long time was the gifts. Oh, come on. Y'all gonna leave me out here? Y'all lying in church. My favorite part of the holiday was the gifts. And I even learned, as I was growing up, that there was this great system that if you would behave all year and be on the good list and don't do anything bad, and then you write this letter, a very good letter to somebody, that if you ask for something in the letter, you'll get it for Christmas. So that's why my favorite part of the year easily was Christmas. So I remember one year I took this big guy up on it, right? I was like, okay, watch, I'm nice all year. I'll take out the trash, mother dearest, but I am a good son. And at the end of the year, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna write my letter. So I wrote a letter to this big, jolly man of generosity. And I said, hey, listen, I want, in my best penmanship, I want a 5-piece pearl drum set. I want Sabian cymbals. Right now, I'm saying words, and some of you guys are like, what? All my drummers and musicians, they're like, yeah. I want that. And I wrote it. I asked Santa for it. And on Christmas Eve, I went to sleep. And I slept good, because boy, I know I was good. I was great all year. I asked him for it, and I was going to get it. And to my surprise and horror, on Christmas morning when I ran out to look at the tree, instead of seeing a beautiful 5-piece drum set, I found a 3-piece suit from JCPenney's and a cardboard box with some clothes that said RL on them. And to be honest with you, I couldn't care less who Ralph or Lauren was. I wanted my drum set. And from then on, I was like, yo, I'm done with Santa. I am done with this. This guy is a game, and I don't trust him. I don't want him. Like, I'm done. I'm off of that. I'm good on that. And y'all are like, oh, that's Kyle, silly Kyle. But no, because we all ask for things. And when we ask for something from someone and we don't get it, then we have a hesitation and we have a barrier of trust. It's 2025, you know, the new year. You say, hey, listen, I'm going to go to the gym. My gym partner's here. What's up, Malik? We go to the gym, we lift in, and my goal is 225 and 25, right? Amen? Anybody else? 225. We're benching 225. There it is, Joseph. Yeah. And 25, and you have your gym partner. You say, hey, man, let's go. Let's go to the gym. Yeah. Let's work on our bodies. Everything is good. Hey, you want to come? Sure, I want to come. Great. You take your pre-workout. Everything is set, and then you get a text. I can't make it. What do you mean you can't make it? Like, I'm amped up, I'm ready to go, and there's disappointment. Maybe it's a relationship, and maybe it's a marriage, and you have what John Gottman calls this emotional bid for intimacy, for connection, and you really want some time to wind down at the end of the night. And when you come from work, you say, I just really want some connection time, and they're like, but the game, or you know, but my friends are over. There's a break. And there's a hesitancy and there's a temptation not to trust. And I wish I could say it was limited to just human relationships, but if you're like me, when you read this text, you kind of read this text and you're like, yeah. Because all of us at some time have asked something of God that we didn't get. All of us have asked, if you first read this like I did, you're like, okay, like, great, I'm asking. Lord, I asked for a 2023 Kia Stinger GT2, red interior, black on the outside. Like, where is it? Or Lord, I asked for a new job. Or like, Lord, I asked for a spouse. Lord, I ask, and where is this? And then now Jesus is telling me everyone who asks is given, everyone who knocks. How do we deal with this tension? There's a tension there in the text. And the tension is revealed by Jesus. Jesus walks us through this, being a good teacher. He walks us through, and he lets us know that when we can't make sense of this, we can trust the character of God. When we don't get things from God that we ask for, we're doubted to not trust him. But Jesus is going to show us in this text, I believe Jesus shows us in this text, something bigger than just getting and receiving. I think he shows us the character of God. So I have one big thought. If you're taking notes, write this down. Tap it in your notes. If you have notes, it's on the screen. Big thought for today is this. Our good God gives good answers to prayer. Take a picture of that. Write that down. We're going to unpack it. Our good God gives good answers to prayer, right? Let's look at this. So in this text, we find Jesus wrapping up the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus was going through all of these teachings, and then he throws this, like, grenade of a teaching at the end. He says, hey, like, if you ask, you get it. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. And if we read this at face value, will be tempted to say, okay, this looks like a formula. This looks like a formula to get whatever I want. But this passage is more than an equation for answered prayers. It's an invitation to know God's character. And if we miss that, we might miss the text. There are two parts of God's character that I want to look at today. We're going to go through this. We're going to take communion. We're going to get out of here. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
First part, God hears and responds. God hears and responds. Verse 7 says this, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks seeks, and everyone who seeks finds, and the one who knocks will be open. You're like, yeah, Kyle, we already read that. How do you know that God hears and responds? If you look at this text, every action that the person gives is met with an answer. Every action, if you ask, it will be. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. There's a guarantee. What Jesus is doing, he's saying, listen, when you're praying to God, he hears. God actively listens. God is an active listener. He hears and he responds. I know this is why I love him so much and I try to be like him, because I'm not the best active listener. I remember we've been married now for 2 years. My beautiful wife, Ann, she's awesome. We love her. I love her. Big fan, all of this. But sometimes I had to learn very quickly that even though I heard what she was saying, or even though I was listening to what she was saying, I wasn't actually hearing. We had to pull up to a baby shower, and you know, we get all dressed up and everything's good. And as we're pulling up, I'm driving, I'm like, this is great. And then she looks at me and she's like, babe, and I'm like, what? She looks, babe, I'm like, what? Where's the gift? You didn't tell me nothing about a gift. She's like, yes, I told you to get the gift when you RSVP'd for the party. And I was like, no, you didn't. And she's like, yes, I did. And then she showed me the proof that she did, to which I responded, I'll do it right now. But that's just an example of how we naturally aren't always the best listeners. But God always hears and he always responds. This is how the Lord works. And you can see this in scripture. So 1 John 5, it's not on the screen, but 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says this. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything, somebody say anything. Anything according to his will, he hear us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. Now, I read this text, and I know y'all, some of y'all are like, yeah, but you said something. How do I know if it's in his will? How do I know if it's in his will? Because clearly, I didn't get the lotto numbers for the Mega Millions. And I asked him for the lotto numbers. And if that was you, keep asking. And if you get it, come see me after service. We'll work it out. But I asked him, and he didn't. So how do I know if it's in his will? Surely it's his will for me to go fishing all year round and quit my job. Surely that's his will. No. See, Jesus doesn't just throw this grenade and this explosive teaching. He puts this at the end, towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has already taught us how to pray. In Matthew 5, he teaches us how to pray. When you pray, you're to pray like this. Not only does he teach us how to pray, he tells us where to store up our treasures. So he's working with the heart a little bit. He tells us, hey, don't store up your treasures down here where moth can get it. Store your treasures up in heaven. And then after that, he says, what not to worry about. You see how smart Jesus is? Like, he gets this. He builds on this, and he says, listen, like, I'll teach you how to pray. I'll teach you, right, where to put your treasures, and I'll teach you what not to worry about. And then after you do all that, ask. Ask, ask, ask. Ask, and it'll be given. Ask, and he'll do it. Jeremiah 29:12 says this, then you will call upon me and come pray to me, and I will hear you. And some of y'all are like, yo, I hear you, Kyle. This is real great. This sounds, sounds good. But I've been asking, and I don't see anything. And this is a real reality. Sometimes we ask, and we don't see anything. But this first principle about God hearing, Jesus is letting us know that we cannot limit his activity to our perception. We cannot limit God's activity to our perception. Just because we don't see him doing it doesn't mean he's not doing it. Just because we don't see the answer actively unfolding in front of us doesn't mean that he's not working on it behind the scenes. What's the song? Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He never stops working. We don't have a God that sleeps or slumbers. We can't limit his activity to our perception. The children of Israel, they were in Egypt for 400 years. They're in bondage. They're crying out. They're saying, God, we need help. We need you, Jesus. God, we need you. God, we need you. We need you. They're praying. And the prayers went up to heaven. And then God went and he started talking to a stammering exile who was herding sheep to come and lead people. But God, why didn't you answer the prayer? Answer the Israelites. Answer the children of Israel. But God, just because God didn't answer them doesn't mean he wasn't working on the answer. And just because God might not have answered us in the way that we thought doesn't mean that he's not working on it. We can't limit this because God, Jesus is showing us he hears and he responds. God hears and he responds. Somebody say he hears. Come on, say it. God hears and he responds. Psalms 34 says this, when the righteous cry for help. I love this. It's not on the screen, y'all. I'm sorry, but this is good. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Out of all their troubles. The Lord hears and he delivers them out of all their troubles. And this is such a good and a foundational thing that we need to learn of God. But it's not easy. Because I can hear you. I hear you. I know what you're saying. You're saying, okay, well, if he hears and he responds, why hasn't he responded the way that I want? Because I asked him, and you just said that he hears, and he always hears, and he delivers the people when the righteous cry, and he talked to Moses. Why isn't he responding the way that I want? This leads me to my second point. The second thing that I see that Jesus shows us about God is this. God knows what's good for you. God knows what's good for you. Look at this. Verse 9, it says, or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? And you parents in here, you're like, yeah, like, okay, cool. I know that. Like, I know that's not food. I would give my child food. Like, I'm good. Why? Like, I'm good. I'm a good parent, right? Look what Jesus says in the next verse. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? What is Jesus saying? Is Jesus saying that you're evil for feeding your kids food instead of rocks? No, like, that's not what he's saying. But what he's saying here is that compared to God's good, in comparison to God's goodness, our goodness is evil. When we think about the magnitude of how good God is, our goodness looks like evil. I grew up in a time where we would have call and response church. Y'all know about call and response church, right? So call and response church is that somebody would say something from the stage and then the crowd would interact, right? So they would say like, praise the Lord, everybody. And then the church would say, praise the Lord. All right, let's try it. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. All right. And then they say it again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. That's call and response. And one of the most viral, if it could be, call and response is, I'm going to see if y'all know it. All right. God is good. All right, so the answer is all the time, all right? All the time. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time?
Good.
Now, growing up, I knew that because I knew it. God is good all the time, and all the time he is good, right? I knew that. I knew that. I had that in my heart. But something happened when I grew up and I started seeing things in my family that weren't good. I started seeing things in my friendships that weren't good. I started seeing things in myself and things happen to me that weren't good. And then I had to wrestle with, well, in church, grandmama, they said you were good all the time, and this doesn't look good. I don't think you know what good is. But I want to give you this principle. This is what we see in the scripture, that the creator of a thing has exclusive rights to determine the value of a thing. I'm going to say it again. The creator of a thing has the exclusive rights to determine the value of a thing. And since all things were made through Jesus and nothing was made that he didn't make, that means that God holds the exclusive rights to say what's good. God, in the garden, he creates the garden, and after everything he creates, he said, and it is good. Created the heavens, he said it was good. He created earth, it was good. He created the land to separate the water, it was good. Created man, he said it is very good. He creates man, he creates the garden, then he creates boundaries and regulations that man should live by. And he said, this is good. Now, hey, listen, this everything is for food. You can eat this, but don't eat this tree. This isn't good. God says this isn't good. And then Genesis 2 says, when Eve saw that the fruit was good for food, she took it and she ate it. And what happened there, I don't want you to mess this up. We're not just speaking about goodness arbitrarily, but what happened in that moment is ever since she bit that apple, man has been having conflicting views of what good is against God. Man has tried to redefine, we redefine in our hearts what's good instead of God, going to God and finding out what's good. And sometimes we might be thinking, oh, this is really good. This is good. It is good that I get this answer to prayer. This is a good thing. And God says, hey, listen, I know you think it's good, but your heart just, you can't really see what's good because you can't really see everything. So God knows what's good. In the garden, he begins by opening up and revealing to us his goodness. So even his answers, not only, so what this means is not only is God good, but that means all of his answers are good. Oh, I'm running up on somebody now. That means all of his answers are good. Kyle, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do. His yeses are good. His yeses are more than me. Now unto him who's able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. His yeses, when he says yes to something, he blows your mind. You ever prayed for one thing and God gave you the whole thing? His yeses are good. His no's are good. He's good even in the no. And I know you say, well, Kyle, this don't make no sense. You can't say he's good in the no. That's not right. No, God defines morality. So if he says no to something that you think is good, it's not that he's wrong. It's that our version of good needs to be updated to his. His no's are good. You might have said, listen, I wanted, Lord, to all 2024, Lord Jesus, please, 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 Jesus, please, please. You know, when you ask real hard, you start to lose syllables. So it goes from please to plea, plea, Lord. Lord, I need a relationship. Put me in a relationship. I want this one person, Lord. This is the one I want. This is my list. This is who I want, Lord. And you even found them. Some of y'all slick. Y'all found them on Facebook and Instagram. Y'all know who you wanted. And y'all was here praying for these people. And you, Lord, I want them. 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 And January, you wanted them. And by the time December came around, you were praising God that he said no to that answer because they tow up from the flow up. That's you. They tow up from the flow up. They don't have anything going. They look busted. They disgusted. All of that. That's because God's no is good. I want to do something. I really want you to guys get this. I want you to get something on your mind. We're gonna take 5 seconds. I want to do this activity. Get something on your mind that you thought was good for you, but then it was only time that showed you that it really wasn't good. I want you to get that thing on your mind. And when you get it on your mind, I want you to just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You might have thought that a job, well, that was your job. That was your dream position. It was everything. It was butter. They were paying all the money. All the packages were great. But little did you know, if you would have got in that job, the only reason why they were so aggressively hiring is because there's nobody else to carry the workload. And if you would have gotten in, you would have been overworked and stressed. So that's the thing that God said no to that is good. So he's good in his yeses, he's good in his no's, and he's even good, watch this, in his not yet. Oh, y'all think, watch, he's even good in his not yets. Trust me. Watch this. God is so sovereign. God is so sovereign that even in his goods, in his yeses and his noes, that there's nothing more frustrating. Watch this. There's nothing more frustrating than getting the right thing at the wrong time. Y'all, there's nothing more frustrating than getting the right thing at the wrong time. I've had my chef apron on for the past week, and I'm going ham in the kitchen, right? And Anne is just loving this. Yeah, y'all know. I'm going ham. I'm throwing out recipes. And I love apple pie, so I threw an apple pie in the oven. I was like, boom, we're going to do it. Who needs the box? I don't do the box. We go by the heart. I just smell it and look at it, and it's good. And I threw it out, and it's done. I cook it for the amount of time. I take it out. I let it sit, and I'm like, whew, all right. I give it about 30 minutes, then we're eating apple pie, right? Got some ice cream, took it out. I let it sit for about 30 minutes, and then I went, and instead of cutting into what I know is God's good gift to earth through apple pie, I cut into this gooey, lack of consistency muck, sugary muck. And I was like, oh, what happened? And then when I looked at the box said, you got to let the pie sit. All my bakers know, you real cookers, you guys know, you got to let it sit. Because some things have to firm up. The pie's not ready if it doesn't sit. So it's the right thing, but it's at the wrong time. And God knows that sometimes we're just like me edging after that apple pie. We're like, Lord, okay, I think I'm on it. I'm on the right thing. I'm asking for the right thing, Lord. I'm asking, seeking, knocking. Let's do it now. No. The only thing worse than getting the wrong thing is getting the right thing at the wrong time. And God knows that there are things that we're asking for. It's not wrong, but it just needs more time. We might need more time to develop into that. We're asking and we're praying for things that we might not have the capacity yet to handle. We're praying for $1 million. Great. We don't have a budget yet. Not great. We have to wait and be okay with his not yets. God knows that sometimes a bad thing is just a good thing at the wrong time. And if we're not careful, we'll seek after good things at the wrong time, and then when we're not pleased with the result, we'll take the disappointed result and attribute it to God's goodness. But God is good, and he knows what's good for you. And I hear you, and you say, okay, Kyle, I hear this, I get you, I'm hearing all of this, I'm tracking with you, but like, you don't understand, I asked for an objectively good thing. Why then did that family member die? I prayed. And the Bible says, pray, ask, seek, knock. Why? I prayed for that. Why did that happen? Or you know, like there was a tragic accident. Lord, I prayed for safety and it didn't go the way we want. Then how do we rectify? Is he still good? And the answer is yes. His goodness, God's goodness, pushes through the fallen state of this world in ways that we see and that we don't see. And it isn't always going to make sense to us, but I take courage in this, is that he is good. In Isaiah chapter 40, 28, it says this, his understanding is unsearchable. And even if things are happening and we're praying and we're seeing objectively the opposite answer to the prayers, and you say, God, you can't be good because I pray that they lived and they passed. Lord, I pray that we'd stay together and we broke up. Lord, I pray that I kept the job and I got fired. Even in then, we can have faith in God and say like Job, listen, everything can happen though. Like, yeah, I might feel slain. I perceive that I am being slain, but yet will I trust him. Yet will I trust his goodness. Some things we won't get on this side. But in eternity, he's eternally good. He is eternally good. He hears and he knows what's good. And he knows what's good, listen, for you. It's like the dad who knows that if he gives his son the knife that he's crying for and wants, so dad, I want a pocket knife so bad, I want a pocket knife. He gives you the pocket knife at 6, you're going to hurt yourself. At 16, that might be good. Because not only does he know, not only is he good and not only does he know what's good for you, but he's your father. And he wants to liberally give. That's what this text is pointing us. Listen, so hey, like, ask, do this. Why? Because he's your father. He'll hear you, and he's good. And his responses and his answers are good. And even if I don't think that it's good, it's still good. If it's not good to me, it's good for me. Because he's good. So what do we do with this, Kyle? This is all up in the air. What do we do? How do we do this? This is what we do. This practical steps, application. If you're taking notes, take a picture, write it down. This is what we do. We're to ask with some things in mind. We're going to ask with some things in mind. The first thing that we're going to ask with is that he is God and he can do anything. Look at somebody and say, he is God and he can do anything. This is God we're praying to. Jesus is calling our attention to the almighty, all-powerful, the one who no man can steal his hand, God. And the fear is that sometimes, if we're honest, we'll pray to God and we'll ask God for stuff that we can really ask our friends for. God, you know, Lord, man, I really need a ride to work. And yes, hear me, pray for everything. There is glory and there is miracles in the mundane. Pray for everything. But what we ask when we go to Jesus, what Jesus is saying is, hey, listen, ask. Ask big prayers. Pray big things. There was a man who had a daughter, and she, just like my story for Christmas, she said, Dad, Lord, Dad, I want a few things, and I want a clothes. I want some clothes. I want a nice dress, and I want a pony. And his dad was like, you want a pony? She's like, I want a pony. And then she went back, she told her sister, I asked that for a pony. Yeah. And her sister said, you'll never get a pony. And then lo and behold, guess what? On Christmas morning, her dad had went out at the local barn and bought her a small pony. This is the God that we serve. Not only does he hear and is he good, but he loves you because he's your father. And if you ask him, if you go to him with things, Lord, I'm asking that you save my whole family. He hears, and he's good, and he can do anything. Is there anything too hard for God? God can do anything. So we ask with that in mind. The next thing we ask for, first of all, give some scripture to throw on that. Jeremiah 32:17, write it down. Ah, Lord God, it is you who have made the heavens and the earth great by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. There's nothing too hard for God. So the first thing we do, we're going to ask with that in mind, that this, he can do anything. The next thing is that he's good and he gives the best answers. He's good and he gives the best answers. You say, like, okay, I know he's good. How do you know he gives the best answers? Luke actually clarifies this a little bit. He says, how much more will the Father not give what? The Holy Spirit. To those who ask. Talk about gift. Like I'm asking, Lord, I'm asking for help. He's like, here's me in the third person indwelling you. That's crazy. That's a beautiful thing. God gives the best of gifts. Paul prayed. He said, God, I got this thorn. I got this thing working in me. I got this pain in my thorn. Three times have I prayed. Like, I got to get this. And what does God say? He's like, hey, listen, I'll give you my grace. God gives the best version of our gifts. The gifts that we need. So you pray, okay, cool. Now what? I prayed. All right, next thing we do, we seek and knock. We seek and knock. What is this? This is we look by faith for what we ask for. So if we're asking for a new job and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to ask you for a new job. Lord, I know this position. I've done the research. I think I qualify. I want this job, right? What is seeking and knocking? Applying for the job. Go out. We're going to move by faith now towards what we believe that we're asking God for. So if you're asking, like I said earlier, we're asking for $1 million. Great. Ask for it. But then let's tighten up the budget. Let's see where the spending is going. Let's see where the saving is going, right? Let's see what we're doing, right? Lord, I'm asking for things, but then I'm going to seek and knock after what I'm asking for. And then finally, we trust his goodness. And we trust that even if we've asked and we've sought and we knocked, that at the end of the day, God is still good. It is he that is able to do anything and that he loves us. See, the temptation is that after we prayed and then we did the legwork, that we want the answer now. I need it now. Okay, God, I did it. I need it now. Make it happen. And if it doesn't happen, we'll kind of get a little antsy. And then we'll say, okay, what did you say, God? Do it. Apply for the job. Okay, cool. I just did it. Oh, yeah. I feel like God said, whoa. Trust his goodness. Some of us are praying for clarity. You're like, God, I just need to know where to go. I just want to know what the next 3 years, I just graduated. I need to know what the next 3 years look like. I want to know, like, okay, should we move? Should we sell? Should we stay? What is the market doing right now? Okay, Lord, do I go for the promotion? What do we do? And you're begging God, God, please, 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 clarity. God, give me clarity. But I want you to remember, when we trust in God's goodness, we're trusting that every denial of clarity is an invitation to trust. Every perceived unanswered prayer or thing that he didn't do yet is an invitation to trust his goodness. And you say, okay, yes, I think I can trust his goodness, but how do I know for sure? Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for, say the word, good. For those who are called according to his purpose. This is God's promise, y'all. This is God's promise. This is his promise to us. How does this work out? When you came in today, you should have, yesterday or today, or last week or today, you should have gotten a VIP card. If you don't have a VIP card, you can get them outside. What is this? This is just us asking, seeking, and knocking for souls. This is what we have space on the back where we can write down people's names that we want to see Jesus, the people that we want to come in contact with this good Father. And what do? We ask. We ask God. We write their names down. Then we seek and we invite them. We actually invite them. And then we trust God's goodness to save and to give good answers to what we ask. How do I know this is true? Like, how do I see this? Like, this sounds impossible. Like, how can anybody do this? Yeah, Jesus did it. See, in the garden, Jesus prayed his whole life here, but in the garden, he prayed some prayers. He knew that he was going to have to die. He knew he was there in the foundation of the earth. He said the lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth. He knew he was going to have to be sacrificed for our sins, but he asked God, he said, God, I really don't want to do this. If there's any other way, let it be. But then he asked for the big thing. He prayed. He sought. He prayed until his sweat turned into blood. But then at the end, he says, but God, not my will. Your will be done. And that's the asking. That's the seeking. That's how it looks. That's how we can practice this in our lives. I remember I grew up a little bit, and I was off of the Santa Claus guy because he's a fraud and he didn't give me the drum set. And one Christmas, I was really hyped because I had a room that I wanted to keep clean. And I asked my mom, I said, Mom, I need a portable hand vacuum for my room so I can clean it. And I said, okay, cool, like, please, like, you know, for Christmas, it's like, you know, Christmas, 2 days before Christmas, I'm like, I really need it because my room's dirty now, so, you know, kind of slide that. Christmas come early this year. And Christmas Eve came, it didn't happen, so I was like, it's okay, Mom. I'll go get it. So I didn't tell her, but I went and I got a little Walmart brand vacuum, and I was in there vacuuming. Hey, I did it. It's my way. I did it. And it broke. And I was like, oh, man, this sucks. And then Christmas morning, guess what my mom comes in the room with? A premium handheld vacuum, like the best one. Like, I had the Red Devil, and she literally bought the Devil Buster. Like, she, like, this is a true story. You can, like, it's terrible. And she brought it, and she was like, What happened? I was like, I kind of bought my own, and it broke. And she was like, okay. And I laughed about it because hers was the competing brand, and then she gave me the new one anyway. And as I was thinking about this scripture, I thought about how that's how God treats us. See, because we want to ask and we want to do these things, and if we're truth and we're honest, sometimes we don't ask for his glory, we ask for ours. And sometimes we know it might not be good, but we want it, so we don't even ask, and we go out and we get it, and we do it ourselves. But the Bible says that there's a way that seems right to man, but at the end is death. And some of us, we've experienced the death of some of our decisions, the bad results of some of our decisions. But God is so good that he gave his best gift. He gave Jesus. He said, okay, listen, I know you messed it up. I know you didn't do it right, but it's okay. Watch, I'll send Jesus while you were sinning. So now, There's no barrier. You don't have to worry about the sin that you carry. You don't have to worry about your poor decisions. You come to me, accept Jesus. You can ask now. So we're going to end this time in communion. Because that's what Jesus did. He paid the price for our ability to ask. Somebody had to pay for the bill. Some of us ask for big things, and if it was up to us, we wouldn't have enough. But Jesus came, living a perfect life, living the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died, purchased our souls from sin, and now gives us the chance to come to God. So the ushers are coming now. If you need a communion, raise your hand. We'll give it to you. First Corinthians talks about how communion happens, and how we do communion here at this church is you don't have to be a part of Greenhouse Church, but you do have to be a part of the Capital C Church. So if you're exploring faith in Christianity, listen, this is the best place to be, and we're so happy to have you. But you can just observe as we take and pass these cups around. But if you're here and you say, hey, man, I'm a believer, and Lord, I'm so glad that you've given me the opportunity to ask a God who hears and a God who is good. If that's you and you, we're going to take communion in a second. And before we take communion, Zach's just going to sing. And I want us to take a minute. And if there are things that we feel like we ask God for and that put distance in between us and we just stop asking, some things we just stop asking for. If we're honest, we stop seeking. We knocked and then we stopped knocking. I want us to be real with that. I want us to look at that and take some time and remember what Jesus did and that his death and his resurrection was final, and that's a sign of God's final goodness. So we're going to take a few moments and come back out and take together. First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord what also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" This is the bread and the price that he paid for us. Let's eat the bread together. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." This is the blood of Jesus. This is the payment, the currency that appeased God's wrath against us for our decisions, for all the things that we sought out on our own. His blood, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is his blood that he spilled for us. Jesus looked at him, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Now, in a minute, I'm going to open up the altar. I'm going to ask for actually the prayer partners to come. I'm going to ask for the prayer partners to come now, actually. And what I want to do is I want to open an invitation. Because I know that 2025 is a new year, but some of us are still holding on to some of the unmet expectations of 2024. And some of us might be a little cold to God's heart. Every eye closed, every head bowed, nobody's looking. If you're here and you're like, God, I did ask. I know I asked, but if I'm honest, like, I just don't feel like you hear me. And you don't feel like praying, and you get discouraged. I want to invite you to come up to the front. This is what's going to happen. There's nothing magical or supernatural about these people at the front. They're just believers like you who love you and who love God and who want you to experience his goodness. And they will join their faith with your faith, and they'll ask. So if you're tired of asking, if you've been asking for something and it seems like he hasn't heard you, I want you to come. If you're asking, another group of you, if you're asking here and you see God working it out and you see the answer, but it's not really the way that you think it should be. And you just need somebody to touch and agree that God is still good. Or if you don't feel like God's good and you need to wrestle through that, you can come down here too. But God is calling us to ask and to trust his goodness. And some of us, we've been on the other side of answers that we don't like and that are tough. And you might just need a brother or a sister to believe with you in this season. That even if you don't believe in it, even if you can't see it, that we're here and that God still loves you and that he is still good and that he has the best for you and he works all things out for your good. I'm going to be down here at the end. You guys can come down. And if you're saying like, okay, like this is cool, but I never really even started a relationship. I don't even know if I'm in a relationship. You can ask for Jesus. If you want to be saved, if you want God to save you, if you're saying, God, like, I'm not even asking because I try to do it my way, but it sounds like you're good. And it sounds like you actually, you hear me and you want the best for me. If that's something that you want, you can come down. Zach's going to lead us in a song, and then we'll dismiss after that. If you're not coming down, you can head out. We have a baptism after service. I'm going to ask everybody stand up. You all stand. Let me pray. If any one of those things, if you feel like God is calling you to ask again, to hope again, meet us down here at the altar. If not, let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is life. Thank you that your word has power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And that even when we might not think or we might not see it as good, because, Lord, sometimes the reality is that it's not our good. But thank you that you are still good and that you love us and that you want to help us to see it your way. So, Lord, give us boldness to ask, God. Give us boldness to pray. Revive our prayer lives, God, even here online and in Guyana, God. Revive prayer lives, God. Let our prayer lives be renewed because of your goodness, that we know we're talking to a good Father who hears and who knows what's best for us. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Church, I pray that God's grace would be ever so evident in your life, that he'd make his face to shine upon you and give you his peace, his great peace. In Jesus' name, God bless you guys. We'll see you guys back here on Sunday or in your microchurches.